This is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Hi, thanks for listening in today. Today I'm excited to have Jill Allison Bryan on with me. How are you doing today, Jill?
I'm great. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing great. Jill Allison Bryan is a certified master creative coach and founder of Creative Oasis Coaching. Since 2009, Jill has helped people around the world turn their personal and professional creative dreams into reality. She excels at helping multi-passionate creatives move past procrastination, perfectionism, overwhelm, and inner critic, and other blocks that lead successful creative lives with more ease, meaning, and joy. Thanks, Jill. I'm glad to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks so much for the invitation. I'm delighted by your podcast. I've had so much fun listening to it, and I love the title.
Thank you. Well, let's get into it then. What's in your glass?
In my glass, I'm a kombucha lover, and my latest find is lemonberry kombucha by Synergy. And sometimes I'll mix that up with a little Waterloo blueberry lemonade sparkling water.
That sounds delightful. I used to make kombucha for a long time, and I actually got burnt out. So maybe I'll have to check that one out. That's not a flavor I've had before. Well, I'm excited to get to know your own creative path a little bit, because I've been following along your coaching, and I'm very impressed with some of the things that my friends have said about how you've helped them. So I'm excited to find about, like, what sparked your interest in art?
Gosh, I've really loved the arts and been drawn to the arts my whole life, and the whole spectrum of art, music, theater, dance, art. When I was little, when I was young, I took piano lessons, I sang in choir, I acted, I loved writing and writing poetry. I do have my one visual art memory that's particularly nice from when I was, I think, in junior high school. It's when soft sculpture was a big deal. And I made soft sculptures of fried eggs, two fried eggs and bacon.
It
won some kind of small contest. So that was my big, that visual art claim to fame.
Nice.
I ended up, I wanted to major in theater, but I didn't. I ended up majoring in journalism and becoming an advertising copywriter. I just always loved hanging out with creative people. I've been drawn to creative people. So pretty much my whole life.
Oh, I understand. I feel like that is a common response to that question. I kind of started out this way and I haven't been able to change. That's great.
Right. And why would you want to? It's so much fun.
It is so much more fun, I think. You get to see the world in a way that I don't feel like somebody with the other side of their brain being used sees it. And that's great. We all get our own perspectives. So what have you been working on lately? What are you finishing up? I know that your creative process is more with people, and I love finding out how you've been helping each other. But what is your big adventure currently?
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, I was looking at that question and thinking, my work as a creativity coach is inherently creative. So that's fun, right? So I'm either creating content or creating and leading classes and workshops that are, you know, designed to help people strengthen their creative confidence and move past their blocks so that they can get out of their own way, usually, and make their creative dreams happen. And it's incredibly satisfying for me, just creatively, which is pretty meta. Sometimes I'm making videos or I'm making graphics or, that kind of creation. I create field trips for Creative Mornings, which are a type of workshop. I create master classes that I share almost on a monthly basis. I have one coming up, Use Your Mind as a Magic Wand, tomorrow. And I'm creating like a day-long virtual retreat that'll happen probably in September, which is a creative visioning experience. It's going to be a full-day virtual retreat that'll help people get clear around their creative dreams and kind of clarify their creative vision for their dreams. So I also do, personally, just a lot of, for the fun of it, creative play.
Oh, good.
Which might be doodle art, making, I collect boxes.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds weird.
No, but, I collect but if boxes I, too.
Do you? Okay.
Yes. This is
okay.
Quite a stack.
You can relate. Actually, multi-passionate creatives are like, oh yeah, I totally get it.
Totally
like,
get it.
Containers.
Oh, and my husband says, do you need more containers for your containers? I'm like, yes, I do.
Well, I've been collecting them for a long time, but in the last year or so, what do I want to do with these? And I started kind of making these 3D cards to send to people.
Neat.
And with the caveat, you can recycle this. You don't have to keep it. It's not precious. It's not a work of fine art. It was fun for me to make. I'd rather do this and send this to you than buy a Hallmark card and, enjoy it and then recycle it. So that's been kind of fun. It's a collage and that kind of thing. And then I play piano and sing. I've always played piano and sung, so I do that for fun, cooking. You know, and I would actually say that one of my callings is to broaden the definition of even what it means to live a creative life.
I love that.
Yeah, it means so much more than whether or not you can draw or paint.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah, I definitely think of my life as my canvas, and I really do think almost everything in life is an opportunity to either express yourself creatively, to enrich your life creatively, or experience life creatively. And I always remind people that, you know, living a creative life isn't just about making, producing, and creating. It's also about enjoying and connecting with and experiencing the creativity of others.
Well, some of the art that I've connected with in a deeper way than just painting, don't get me wrong, a good Rothko I experience quite thoroughly too. There's some art that I've experienced where it is an experience. Like, it's not a visual, it's an installation. Maybe it's like Carolyn Sordor, she will create an installation where you interact with her and the objects, and it's gone once the show is over. And that part of the art experience is really enriching to me. And you have a moment in your life where you experience something, and I feel like we can create that also with our own lives.
Very cool. Is this something kind of like a Sweet Tooth Hotel where you go in and you experience the art, or it's more like performance art, like Karen Finley, but you're interacting with the artist?
Well, like, okay, so for example, the Texas vignette in 2019, Carolyn Sordor, she was, her installation was very close to where my art was, and so I kept coming over and hanging out with her. She had two chairs, she had a pile of books on a desk or a table, I'm not actually sure what it was on, but there was a lot of books, a nice big round green rug, and it was very inviting, and you came over and she said, pick out whatever book you would like, I'll read it to you, you can read it to me, or you can read it silently, and it was just an opportunity to interact and communicate, and it opened doors of interacting with each other that I don't think, if she was just sitting there at a table, I would have interacted with her. And I ended up, she was part of the Cedars Union Cohort 2, so I got to know her out through that as well. And she had other installations with kind of similar ideas where it opens up an opportunity for the viewer, not just the viewer, they become part of it. And they're really delightful. If you can find, if anybody sees her in a show, go and hunt it down and interact with her. It's pretty fun.
Oh, definitely. I just got chills. That sounds amazing. I love that idea, kind of breaking the boundaries, just changing the idea of what it means to have an art experience. That's super cool.
Real thoughtful, too. It is, you know, I love Sweet Tooth Hotel, but I almost feel they are, like, very bright, which I like. I like bright colors and all of that. It's like an Instagram experience turned into reality.
Right.
But hers, it was very personal, and it was a different experience.
Yeah, it almost seems like, like more like performance art, but where you're really getting the opportunity to interact with the, instead of just watching the performance artist do their thing, you're actually invited into the experience.
I loved it. Sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self and give a tip or trick, what would you recommend your younger self to maybe pursue or take seriously?
I actually gave a lot of thought to this question. I was like, because on the one hand, I think I love my life like it is right now so much that even with all the trials and tribulations and things that I went through to get here, I wouldn't change anything because I think, you know, I probably needed to go through all those things to get where I am now. But that being said, in general, I think I'd want my younger self to know you're resilient as hell. You're going to figure it all out. Even if it's scary and you don't know exactly how to make it happen, you'll figure it out. So just go ahead and, you know, follow your heart from the beginning and do what you really want to do from the get-go rather than wasting one precious minute worrying about what other people will think, including your parents.
Yeah.
You know, just go for it. Because even if you fail or it doesn't turn out the way, I use fail in quotes, like it doesn't turn out the way you hoped it would, you're still going to create an amazing life of amazing experience.
That is a good way. Most people say something along the lines of, like, don't be so hard on yourself. It's going to be okay. I got a question from our listeners. I thought it was appropriate for what you do. And the question is, how do we tap into creativity daily?
I could answer that as many ways as there are people, right? Because I think if you go back to what I was saying a little bit earlier about if you view your life as your canvas rather than compartmentalizing our creativity only when we're at the piano or only when we're at the easel, only when we're, actually producing something, that's kind of keeping us hemmed in. When you think about how I make my food, how I set my table, how I get dressed, what I wear, or creating a part of my room, to feel a certain way, or an altar in my house or something like that. We can really, or even how you take your walks, just really thinking about things intentionally through the lens of creativity can be a really easy way to weave creative thinking and experiences into our life without the added pressure, which sometimes people, like, if they have the thought, I don't have time for it or I don't have room for it, well, then they're pigeonholing what being creative could be.
I knew you were going to be able to answer that well. I was like, this is right up her alley. That's great. Well, I talked a little bit about what I've seen that knocked my socks off with Carolyn. What have you seen recently, maybe this year, that really just knocked your socks off art-wise?
A couple things that come to mind. Art 214, which is a comment. It's put on by the City of Dallas Office of Arts and Culture and Dallas Arts Dealers Association, I think. And it spans, it fills five different cultural centers here in Dallas. The Bath House Cultural Center, the Oak Cliff Cultural Center, South Dallas Cultural Center, Latino Cultural Center, and then the Moody Performance Hall in the Arts District. And all of those spaces were filled with this amazing variety. I was gobsmacked by the level of talent, the variety of talent, and it all comes from right here, either in Dallas or the North Texas area. And it was curated this last year by Daisha Board of Daisha Board Gallery.
Oh, she's on fire with stuff.
It was just... That was amazing.
I got to see the one at the Latino Center because it was a Cedars Union friend, acquaintance. I would like to be friends with her. I can't claim that yet, but the show was amazing.
Yeah, and that happens every year. So people can just put that on their radar, because that'll be happening. I think it happened. Yeah, that'll be happening next year as well. So, and then another very unique, small, well, I don't know if I'd say small, a unique show that I saw at the Jeanette Kennedy Gallery in the Cedars was Tally Williams' The Nesting Project.
Ooh, I haven't seen that one. When was that?
It was just maybe a month or two ago.
In the newer spaces that they're using?
I think so. It's in the Cedars when you're... I'm showing you with my hand. In the Cedars, when you walk down that big cement hallway and it's up.
Okay, so it's upstairs. Landing. They used to have, I had a show there last year and it was down in the basement. I think I was the last show in their basement gallery.
Okay.
And so I know that they were getting up there and I was like, oh man, I bet that's a great space.
Well, yeah, the interesting thing about it is it's a nice space. It's a nice, gallery space. But her work was very large scale. Sculpture, well, mannequins that she had then transformed. And she actually built a size that two life-size mannequins could fit inside of it, nest.
Oh, yeah, I've got to check this out. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I mean, and it's not up anymore, but my thought when I saw it and experienced it, and I was lucky enough to get to see it on the opening day, so she was there, and I got to speak with her and hear her speak about it a little bit, was this work needs to be in a museum.
Yeah. That's always fun.
It needs to be at the Nasher.
Yeah. Well, maybe. They've got a really good program for that front gallery space. Maybe we'll get to see that in the future.
Oh, I hope so. If there's anybody out there listening that knows how to make that happen.
I know, seriously. That'd be great. I want to see that. I'm going to go check out. There's got to be something online that has some good videos or something.
Yeah, Tally probably has some. If she's on Instagram or something, she probably has some photographs.
Well, if you had, I kind of feel like I should actually reward this. I usually say, do you have an online art community, a resource you recommend? But I think you should talk about it, what you're offering people, because you've got a pretty good resource. You are a pretty good resource for people.
Oh, well, thank you. I do serve people. Well, the people that I coach people all around the world because I coach via Zoom. You know, I usually offer a master class, a virtual kind of workshop once every 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. A variety of different topics, like the one I'm going to teach tomorrow is how to use your mind as a magic wand, which is really talking about mindset and how I really believe that our mind is our most powerful creative tool. And so helping people, sharing a few ways that I work with my clients with people so that they can start practicing using their thoughts to serve them instead of trip them up and keep them from doing the things that they want to do. I have a group. I coach people one-on-one, or I have a cohort that, launches, again, it's virtual, probably every 3 months or something like that. I'll have another one coming up this fall. Also, you're familiar with the Creative Arts Center of Dallas, right?
Yes.
It's a gym. It's a jewel. Some people don't know about it because it's kind of tucked away over here in East Dallas, but it's an amazing resource. You could take pretty much any kind of class, hands-on class you wanted to there.
Which is so helpful.
Yeah. Everything from mosaics to welding to glass, figure drawing, pottery, just all the things. And I teach a few workshops there a year, which I've taught workshops there for probably, a decade now. I have one coming up in September that's building creative confidence. And I just got asked to be on the board last year. So that's fun.
Nice.
Helping them to have a bigger presence and let more and more people know and serve more people in the DFW, in the Dallas area. I think I have to talk about my people of Creative Mornings. Are you familiar with Creative Mornings?
I'm not, but you'd mentioned that when we were messaging back and forth, and I was really curious about it, so I want to hear about it.
Ah, okay, great. This will be my opportunity to sing the praises of Creative Mornings, which is I discovered a friend introduced me to Creative Mornings here locally. We have a local chapter that once a month on a Friday morning, we'll meet at a different place and around town, and there's coffee and breakfast and then a really good speaker and then just, connection, just meeting with all different kinds of creative people. And it's just like last month was so spectacular. We went to Thanksgiving Tower downtown, which is a place that I had never been to. I always wanted to see. There's a beautiful spiral stained glass. And so it started by a woman, a graphic designer in Brooklyn, and it has grown into an international.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, the global creative networking group. They have there's chapters all over the world. And then when COVID hit and the lockdown happened, they sprang into action and were like, okay, how can we serve our community? Because we can't meet in person anymore, like we do every month. And they converted these field trips that they had started to offer in person into virtual offerings. And so they started, they put out the call, we want to do these virtual field trips. And I raised my hand immediately. I think I taught one of the first ones. And just last week, I taught another one. I think at this point, over the last 2 years, I think I've taught 8 or 9 of them. And they're super fun. They're free. They're fun to attend.
Well,
it's the gamut of everything from writing to art to creative process to food to, you name it. So that's a great resource.
About to say, I'm going to jump on that. That's right up my alley. I'm all about finding communities. I learned really fast right when I got out of college that I thrive off of having some type of community. So I'm going to look into that. That sounds like my cup of tea.
Oh, definitely. You have to come. Yeah. Please come to a Creative Mornings meeting and see, it's so interesting. You think you know something and you're like, everybody knows about this. Every creative person knows about it. But there's a lot of creative goodness out there. So I'm a big, I love to connect people. I love to, lift people up and let other people know about creative happenings that are going on in Dallas. I always think if anybody says there's nothing to do or I'm bored, I'm like, what?
Well, the nice thing about Dallas is I tell a lot of people, I do a lot of things all over East Texas and the DFW area, and I'm always just like, it's not that far. It really is very close. It's not like we don't have I-20 at our disposal where we can get easily from one place to the other and seek these things out. So I think it's great that we have these at our fingertips.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Okay, go ahead and share with our listeners where they can find you on social media and your website. So I will put the links in my show page, but if you're listening on Spotify and you don't have my show page in front of you, this is a great way to find her.
Okay, let's see. So I will be, my website is creativeoasiscoaching.com. And when you go to the main page of that, you can see if I'm teaching any master classes, that'll be on there. Anything about my coaching programs, that's on there as well. If you do start to follow Creative Mornings or Creative Mornings Field Trips, and they're both on Instagram as well, I think I have another field trip coming up on September the 6th, Kaizen Magical Method for Multi-Passionate Creatives. And then, again, the Creative Arts Center, I'm teaching that Building Creative Confidence, and that's an in-person workshop on September the 11th. And on Instagram, what is my handle on Instagram? I think it's at Creative Oasis Coach.
There we go. It'll be, well, I'm sure they can find it on your website, right?
Yeah, I think that's on there as well. But yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's it.
That's great. I'm excited. And don't forget to like her on Instagram, follow the podcast, and leave us some of your questions for my next guests. And also, we have a Patreon for Don't Drink the Paint Water podcast. So if you'd like to support me and all of the great things I'm trying to bring to you, go check it out. I've got information about my guests on there as well, so you can see some behind the scene pictures as well as more pictures of the art by the artists that I bring on here. Thank you for listening in, and Jill, thank you for being on today.
Oh, thanks so much for the invitation. It was so fun. I really enjoyed it, and I love listening to your podcast.
Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode, it supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast, yes, one word, to see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.